We heard last time that in Christ Jesus, through our faith, we have a new identity. We have become sons and daughters of God, if you will. And this stand, or this place that God has put us in, has given us a new opportunity or new opportunities. A big shift has gone on in our minds, in our hearts. Our attitudes have changed. Because those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. And Paul emphasizes, he says, behold, all things have become new. It's a new walk in life. And if you and I believe that Jesus was born for our salvation, we have then moved into a period of waiting. We are waiting now for either Jesus to return or for the end of our own day so that we can go to him. And in this time of waiting, we may call it whatever we want to put the title on. And this time we want to read our Bibles. We want to invite friends to church. We want to help people understand the gospel. We want to worship together week after week. But some of the things can become so routine that we kind of lose the excitement of it. And God wants us to expand our understanding of why Jesus came, why he was born, and realize that there's more going on than just having a religious title or even be called Christians or children of God. Because in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they, you and I, that we may have life. And he adds that we would have it more abundantly. And this is the goal of the Christmas message this year, that we would experience such joy, such peace, and love like never before, that we would deepen our experience with God like never before, that our prayer life would have a deeper meaning than ever before. Is that possible? Of course it is. But it's up to us whether we want to press towards that or we're tired of pressing in our spiritual life and we just kind of sail with the winds, whatever is out there. We need to be prepared for the journey of life as sons and daughters of God. We need to understand who we are as we follow Jesus. And the first thing that the Apostle Paul mentions in order to do that is that we start losing ourselves. It's right the opposite of what the world tells us. The world tells us that we need to find ourselves. Some people go on up to mountains and are there for days on end to try to find themselves. In verses 7 and 8, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss. In other words, I have emptied myself. I have given things up. Not that he would be in a void, that he would be in an empty state or condition. No, he says, I've given those things up so I may get Christ. With that, he says, you can't have everything. You can't have it both ways. You can't have everything in this world that you desire, that the flesh desires, and also Christ on top of it. He says, no, to have Christ, to gain Christ, I need to empty myself. I need to lose myself. Paul is very clear with that. He said, if anyone has reason to be proud, I can be proud. I come from a heritage that is this unique. I know the law. I'm a Pharisee. I'm trained. I'm a PhD in law, the Old Testament law. But he said, all of that knowledge and all of that learning and all of the whole cultural heritage, what good is it to me if I don't have Christ? So he says, I have counted all that I achieved for garbage, as worthless, because I want Christ. That's how much he was focused on Christ. And that's what Christmas is all about, is Christ and him alone. Many of us have too much garbage or baggage. I remember, I dread every time when we go on a trip, I dread already the packing. I hate packing. You have to do it. Then I have to count the socks. Okay, how many days I'm going to be gone? How many socks and how much underwear do I need to take? And how many shirts do I take? And usually I pack too much. Too much of some things and sometimes not enough from another thing. And usually I forget one or two things. And usually I think about it when I'm at the airport. And then it's too late. But I hate packing. And yet I have to do it sometimes. We lay our suitcases open, and then, okay, what do I need? And we have to, some people make lists. They are so organized. And I hate that when I just see that. I'm like, man, you know, they have a list. Check off, check off, check off. I think I can do it with just memory. I don't make a list. And then I'm in trouble sometimes. But we count the things we need for our journey. We count what we need to pack, what we need to, and sometimes we have too much baggage. You know, they weigh the luggage pieces. You know, I figure like this. If I pay for the checked-in luggage, I want to pack that up to the limit. And I want to have a big enough luggage piece because I want to get my money's worth. And so if I have to pay, I'm not going to give them a small luggage and pay $25 for it. No, it has to be a big one with enough, maybe right at 50 pounds. We did that on the way back. We had it so calculated. And then at the airport, we had to kind of reshuffle the weight because we had so much baggage. But it worked out. We checked in two luggage, and it was just under 50 pounds. And 50 is the limit. Some of us, we have too much baggage. We are so self-focused that our identity in Christ gets muddied up sometimes. Sometimes we forget who we are in Christ. And it is scary to think about losing ourselves. It is scary for a lot of people to this idea of not thinking of me, not thinking of I, me, and myself, but to think outwardly. To imagine letting go of fears and of worries and of issues sometimes takes a lot of energy and involves a certain inner battle. But Paul says, I let everything go so that I would grab hold of Jesus. The other point he points out here is he is in preparation of embracing Jesus' righteousness. See, as a Pharisee, he was so righteous. Righteous, flawless in the Old Testament law. He knew every bit of it. He knew how to apply it. He knew how to teach it. He knew every, like the translation said, every tittle of every word, because he was well trained. But he said, I gave that up because I exchanged my own righteousness that I try to achieve through the knowledge of scriptures, through my heritage, through the faith of my fathers, I gave that up so I could gain the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We read that there is no one righteous, not even one. These were the words of Paul in Romans chapter 3. There's no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. But on our own, we cannot be righteous. And that was one of the life-shattering experiences of Saul of Tarsus, which became Paul, that his righteousness fell all to pieces. In Isaiah, we read that our own righteousness is like filthy rags. You don't want filthy rags around. You don't want to look at them. You don't want to smell them. You want them as far away from you as possible. Filthy rags are usually discarded of or burned. And Isaiah says that is our righteousness from our own. But he says because of Christ's faithfulness, because of God's gracious, as we heard in the song Christmas Grace, God's gracious gift, he has now established a righteousness that we can adopt, that we can accept, and just melt into God's righteousness. And God takes away whatever stands in his way. So as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, we're called to have the righteousness of God that's only possible through Jesus Christ. That is Christmas grace. That is the Christmas message. And that is power. This is why John said he has given us the power to become sons and daughters of God. That power is his power. That righteousness is his righteousness. And it is his righteousness that I intend to have when he comes for me, that I will be with him forever. The third point Paul makes here is that in preparation for eternal glory, he presses on towards the goal. We can and must expect setbacks and roadblocks in life. That is natural. Sometimes on our journey, we will trip and fall. But if you trip and fall, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? You get up, unless you can't. But everyone that falls, the first thing we want to do is getting up as quick as possible. So if you trip and fall spiritually, what should you do? Well, you should just lay there and wallow in the mud and just say, oh, yeah, I fall and I can't get. No, get back up. That's what the believers have done before us. When you backslide, when you blow it, get back up. Get back on track. That's what grace is for. That's what salvation is for. That's what Christ has come for. To help us in our weakness, to get us back on track. He doesn't want you to stay down. He doesn't want you to be defeated. He doesn't want you to live a life where you always feel that you're oppressed. He wants you and I to live in his victory, in his righteousness, in his love, in his grace. Sometimes we can trip over our own feet. You know, kind of like without any reason. And sometimes it is when we get spiritually slack, I would like to say. And I've experienced this on vacations. You know, I don't have to preach. I don't have to prepare sermons. And it is easy to become spiritually slack, to just kind of let down your guard. This is kind of, well, yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm self-confident. And then the danger hits. All of a sudden, we trip. What do? We need to get back up. Do not allow Satan to, in any way, shape, or form, to keep you defeated, to keep you in a mood where you feel like, oh, I can never get up again. I cannot change. I cannot get back where I was. Oh, yes, you can with God's help. This is what Paul is referring to. I press on toward the goal. If there are setbacks, I keep pressing on. If there's temptations, I keep pressing on. I have this one goal in mind, to reach that goal. Embracing his righteousness. Embracing his love. We live in a society today, or in societies, where everyone wants to be a victim because victims get attention. You know that? Oh, yeah, poor me. You know, we were done wrong. And sometimes they have a point, and the government has to look at it, of course. But if we constantly stay in this state of being a victim or being offended by others, by everything, some people are offended by everything, and I call them self-made martyrs. Have you understood that? You know, you want to die the death of a martyr. You make yourself a martyr. And if you're a martyr yourself, that's what Satan wants. And that's how he defeats us. But God wants us to be above that. He wants us to press on when we trip, get back up. You and I have talents from God. We have gifts. Let's use them. You see, here is where this whole thing changes from being self-focused, being inward-focused before. As sons and daughters on our journey, we discover that the more we look outward, the more we reach out, and the more we look at others that need Christ, the more excited we become for Christ's sake, to work for him and to work with him in union. The focus is that we impact those around us. We have the ability to impact our city, our neighborhoods. We have the ability to impact our families. We have the ability God has given us and called us to impact others. So part of our preparation is to commit to pressing on, to doing what is good, to do good deeds. Jesus has a goal for our lives, so we press on. There's a prize for us, Paul says, so I press on. There are families that need us to continue. We cannot let our guard down, so we must press on. The church needs us. The mission field needs us, so we press on. That's what Paul is saying, because we are needed. You, as a child of God, you are needed in this world. Therefore, let's press on and keep on towards the goal. Paul writes this then towards the end. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I have a one-track mind, he says. Those things in the past I cannot change. I cannot change one bit of it. But I don't want to bear the burdens of the past, because that's too much for me. I want to be light-footed, going towards the future and looking at what is to come. And what is to come is the greatest prize. This is what he says. I press toward a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Do we accept the righteousness of God that he has for us? Are we willing to press on? For Christ's sake, Christ in him only. Are we preparing to have Christ in our lives and let him permeate everything in our hearts and minds in our lives, and let his righteousness rule our hearts That is my prayer for myself, and I hope for all of us. Prepare for the journey. Prepare for the prize that is to come. It is worth it all. God bless you. Amen.